Speak a statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic texts, for instance, remind us that the NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Thank God. My name is Crystal, and I'm an addict. If you are new, I want to say welcome. If you're back from a relapse, I want to say welcome. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using, and that any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. And no matter what we go through up in here, as long as we don't use, we do recover. I want to thank the Chesapeake area for inviting me down to share my experience, strength, and hope. Where the hell y'all get this topic from? Where's William? See? And the thing about it is, right, he calls me and he says, you know, I want you to come on down, sister, because I know you're struggling with some stuff. He said, but I got a topic. He said, I got a topic for you. And the thing about it is, the goddamn topic fits like a key in a goddamn hole. Huh? So he said, you know, listen, you, I said, you know, I think some of y'all motherfuckers been out of the Bronx. I think y'all in the meetings listening to what the fuck I'm saying and shit, right? And then y'all go back home and discuss my business, and then y'all call me and then gonna tell me to come speak on a trapped in a body controlled by a mind that don't give a damn. For the newcomer, I need to tell you where I came from. Because as a newcomer, I couldn't identify when I used and I lost. I needed to know what you lost, how you lost it, when you lost it, what you lost it to. I needed to know your story. I needed to hear your story. I needed to identify my pain with yours. So when this topic came, I had to take it back. And I took it back to the beginning of a child, as a child, when I was molested at 6 years old by someone who didn't give a damn. Who told me on a regular basis, hey, William, hey, William. And I love you. Yeah, it was him. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, committee. Thank you. All right. And as a child, I had to keep the biggest secret of my life. tell anybody. I kept a secret. See, I had some, as children, we are taught some things. We pick up some things. We learn some things. We do some things as children with no direction, right? And so I had this big secret because in my household, children were seen and not heard. And I couldn't tell anybody that on a regular basis, this man who said he loved me on a regular basis was telling me to pull my drawers down. And I held on to this secret. And as a result of holding on to the secret, it progressed. I learned how to tell lies. And as a result, it progressed. And then I became a thief. And then it progressed right into some behaviors. So by the time I reached the age of 13, when I just started high school and I wanted to know what they was doing in the back of the high school, and I went back there to find out what they was because I wanted to be a part of. See, I always wanted to be someone other than who I really am. I'm talking about with some time in here, right? See, please understand that clean time don't equal recovery. It ain't the quantity of clean time you have. It's the quality, right? See, you can come up in here. You can do some stuff. You can write all you want. But my sponsor said, how you living? So at 13 years old, when I left my mother's house with a pretty little backpack on the back, because I was the only child, and mother said, honey, there's some stuff going on here. You just attracted to that lifestyle that I don't appreciate. So at 13 years old, I left my mother's house, and I went to an area at that time. See, if you've been to New York recently, I went to, see, back at that time, they used to call this area 40 Deuce, right? So, but if you've been down there recently, it's real pretty and lit up, but that ain't the 40 Deuce I'm talking about. The 40 Deuce I'm talking about is the one where you had the karate flicks on the left, you had the karate flicks on the right, you had show one on eight, you had leg gals on seven, and you had my pimps and my hoes on eight. See, I don't know about you, newcomer. See, make sure the story that got you here keeps you here. Right? But I wanted to go on 8th and 9th Avenue with my pimps and my hoes. See, I was attracted to the lifestyle. And so I'm on 42nd Street at 13 and 14 years old. Trapped in a body by a mind that don't give a damn. And this pimp comes up to me, and he says, hey, you know, you're a little bit young to be up on this corner. But I'm going to tell you, he said, by the way, you need a nickname. Let me give you a name. He said, your name is Slim Goody. Don't fuck with her right about now. He need to know. So Slim Goody proceeds to dance up in show world. Right? And he says, all you gotta do is just dance. He said, the guys are gonna come in and they're gonna put a silver quarter in here and it's gonna go up and you just gonna have your first 15 minutes of fame and you just dance, baby girl. And I'm gonna come get you every night. We get this check and we gonna take you home and these hoes and they gonna take care of you. But see, I didn't mind him taking care because I thought he was really gonna take care of me because I didn't give a damn because I just left home. So now I'm in 42 Slim Goody doing the damn thing. And then I'm introduced to the different chemicals. And I finally ended up uptown in Harlem where they told me they had this thing called crack. I'm that addict that said I wouldn't be like that girl I saw in the staircase, see? But I ended up under the same staircase that I said I wouldn't. See, I went in that staircase back in 1980-81, and when I came out, it was 1996. I'm a rape survivor. I'm an incest survivor. Huh? I came into Narcotics Anonymous, springboard from a therapeutic community. Thank God for H&I. See, while I was out there, man, listen. I didn't care what you look like, smell like, be like. As long as you had half, we could do the damn thing. See, in the beginning, it was fun. We was taking cabs. We was passing shit in the beginning. But at the end, you couldn't, listen. If I was short 50 cents, let's do what we gotta do. I didn't give a damn. And the H&I commitment, the brother said, hey, listen, you know, he said, I make H&I commitments. He came up there and he said, when you leave here, he said he'd been clean for some time. And when you leave this institution, you know the thing, right? You make 90 meetings in 90 days. Yeah, right? He said, you make a meeting. He said, make a meeting, and I'll be at the meeting. And I said, oh, shit, if that's what they got in NA, I want one of him. So I came to Narcotics Anonymous looking for a few good men. If you ever in the Bronx on a Friday night at 50 Mountain Eaton Newcomers Recover 2, we meet every Friday night to help each other stay clean. You are welcome. But I made this meeting where I made this fantastic meeting in Manhattan, you know, on 114th and Morningside, and it was the rah-rah meeting, and the guys were lined up on the back, and they had the caddies outside and shit, and I said, oh, shit, I'm gonna make some money up in here. I said, cha-ching, cha-ching, payday. So I found that they had some of them NA parties and shit. I was going to them NA parties, drinking water all motherfucking night and shit. I found it like, I thought, I didn't know y'all was really being clean. And then a dude came over to me. By damn, he said, hey, Slim. He says, you know, you gonna be a beautiful flower. He said, let me get your number. Listen, he told me it had some clean time. I said, oh, damn, I could get this shit by osmosis. And he took me, he said, he called me so we could start dating and shit, right? But every time he came and got me, we go way out. Shit, I didn't know it was a secret. I don't give a damn shit. He started flourishing me and shit, and y'all was telling me some shit about hold on to your seat, and some women were sharing some real Gucci shit, and I said, shit, that shit ain't gonna happen to me. Do you know who I am? So he took me some places, and we was doing these conventions, you know, yeah, we had the his and the hers outfits and shit. And I was telling y'all, like, don't fucking call me, because now I got a man. See, I don't know about y'all, but while I was on 42nd Street, my girls in my whole house told me to always do two. You should always have one and have another one, just in case. So now, I'm up in here and I ain't got none of this. I raised my hand, I told you my name was Crystal. But all in reality, it was nothing but a counterfeit. Because I need to tell you that I'm still struggling as of right now, for those of you that know me. I'm struggling with a war within myself because I'm at a battle between Slim Goody and Crystal. But I need to take it to the book. Because I don't want it all to be my shit tonight. This motherfucking topic here. The second tradition at the bottom says, Gandhi, by nature we are strong-willed, self-centered people who are thrust together in NA. We are mismanagers and not one of us is capable of consistently making good decisions. So if this shit get home before me, he already know. See, on this journey, you're going to be filled with hopes and dreams and challenges and setbacks and goodbyes. And we must make the best of them all. See, I don't know about y'all, but see, I suffer from a disease that is cunning, baffling, and insidious. And if you don't know what they mean, I'm going to take you to the Websters right now. Cunning. Shrewd, crafty, exhibiting ingenuity, skilled in deception. Baffling. To foil thought. To make helplessly puzzled anything used to impede, regulate, or alter flow or direction. My favorite one. Insidious. Check it out. Like Ron A. say, check it out, check it out, check it out, check it out. Check it out, check it out. Check it out, check it out. Check it out, check it out, check it out. Insidious! Working or spreading harmfully in a subtle or stealthy manner intended to entrap, treacherous, sly, beguiling, lying in wait. In other words, laying in the cut. So I'm at war within myself. I'm talking about Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. I'm talking about when shit ain't going right at home. I'm talking about when the husband decides that he want to step out the fucking marriage. I'm talking about when Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde hit me and I'm in a meeting telling you I'm Crystal, but I'm counterfeit because all I am is Slim motherfucking Goody, right? And I get a tap on my shoulder that says, "Hey, Crystal." Yes, Slim? She said, "Come on, baby girl." She said, "Yo, don't you know we know how to get that money, Melvin? Well, I remember how to, we know how to get that money. We know how to get paid. Huh? We know. Listen, I'm all you got. I'm all you got, girl. survivor kit, huh? I said, but Slim, I'm in a program and I'm married now. And she said, no, bitch, you married and I'm single. Give a damn. Just this morning, I need to tell you that I haven't been to sleep. I need to say thank you to the women that came to my room this morning. See, because I wanted to be in the fetal position. See, I didn't want to eat. I don't even know if I felt like I wanted to live for the rest of the day. You see? See, you know, people talk about being up in here, talking about the drugs will put you out. Well, baby, let me tell you about some motherfucking behaviors that'll have your motherfucking ass ready to fucking cop. I'm talking about I've been riding this motherfucker on a run. The only thing I ain't do was give a fucking cop man $20. You could be right up in this motherfucking smoking without a stem. What? Just getting started. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. So now, right? I don't know about y'all, right? Y'all ever went ahead and did something that you know ain't gonna work? So 3 years ago, I made a decision to get married. Through the whole thing, Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde had been present all along. Right? And through the whole thing, I'm talking about like to forgive is to set the prisoner free and then to discover that the prisoner was me. Huh? Like I had to try to consider some new options and I'm trying to make the marriage work. I'm trying to make the marriage work. Yeah. Catch it now, right? Huh? And some things is going on, and the husband decides, like, we decided to separate, and he decided to find companionship in someone else. See, it was all right when I was doing it, but when it was done to me, I was fucked up. Huh? So now, Slim Goody says, well, baby boy, huh, you know my middle name is Cheetah. Do you know who I am? I'm going to show you how to cheat. Slim Goody says, yeah, Crystal, come on. Let's go hurt ourselves. Let's go ahead. See, because I don't know about y'all, but once I'm onto the negative energy, I run with it. So I'm killing myself. And I'm substituting another way to cop. And I'm trapped in a body controlled by a mind that don't give a damn. So now I'm caught up, I'm caught the fuck up. But newcomer, I'm caught up, but I'm holding the fuck on. We make mistakes and we accept and learn from them. We experience failure as we learn how to succeed. Often we have to face some type of crisis during our recovery, such as the death of a loved one, financial difficulties, or divorce. See, it's okay to go through some feelings, and it's easy when a mother, oh, you go through those feelings, okay, go pull out the second step. Okay, go pull out the fourth step. That's easy for your ass to say. You can't deny me my feelings. Huh? What about the feelings? What about the feelings? Huh? So finally, after all the insanity through the marriage, right, the husband and I decides to separate as we speak. So I have... I have prayed and I have asked for nothing more than God's grace and His mercy. And asked that God, the God that got me here, the God that continues to carry me those days when I can't carry myself, those days when I cannot make those consistent, healthy choices, those days when I know, like moving forward, I cannot longer go up here alone. And I pray for God's guidance and His direction, for His love, because being trapped in a body by a mind that don't give a damn is oh such a painful place. I stay connected through Narcotics Anonymous. I continue to make meetings. I continue to embrace this program. This program has helped save my life. I've joined a no matter what club, no matter what, I must not use. This is just another hurdle. This is just another hurdle to become that woman that God wants me to be. God is the ultimate authority. And I know He's got me. I know He's got me. Because sometimes, like I had a problem with God because of all the unhealthy and unspiritual beliefs, my value system changed. But as long as I continue to seek His guidance, I love my husband. But it just ain't working right now. I love my husband. So newcomer, hold on. Shit is going to happen. And this too shall pass. Thank you for letting me share.
automatic. Hard to cut people off when you're up here. Our next speaker, it's just real spiritual for me to be able to introduce him. I'm going to give you Walston B. from Washington, D.C.
Good evening. My attic name Walston. And I want to welcome the new person that's wondering what's going on here tonight and invite you to a new way of life. We feel up in here, but what I found out is that through those tears and through the laughter, we heal. We come to places like this podium and we tell the truth. And the truth will do what? Well, y'all sound like church up in here. I think my sister already set the stage, and I thank her so much for her honesty, so much for her courage. This is a powerful program, and I'm so glad to be among the chosen. I want to thank the CMP region for asking me to come share on this topic, and I, too, like Crystal, wondered, what in the fuck was they thinking of when they asked me to talk on some shit about being locked in a body controlled by a mind that don't give a damn. And I mean, I thought about it and I thought about it, and then I finally said, well, goddamn it, they got to be talking about my addiction. And the reason I say that is because I'm no longer locked in this body and no longer controlled by a mind that don't give a damn. Yeah, let me make it plain that I'm free today. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Yeah, and so, you know, I'm glad to have an opportunity to share what the program has done for this addict, because I never dreamt that I would be where I am today. I know everything I went through to get me right here tonight. That's a hell of a story. To be in an oil joint, can't get out, scraping bags, rinsing cookers, waiting for somebody to give you a hit, 2-3 cc's so you can get some legs up under you to go out and take something from somebody. Huh? I'm talking about being in a crack house. I don't like crack, but give me the flip, Crystal. Yeah, I'm talking about I'm not all right with me. The little boy. The little boy in Alexandria, Virginia, whose mama gonna move to D.C., he 12 years old. Mama, I can't go to D.C. They killing niggas over there. Boy, shut up. Get in the car. Wind up behind the shrimp boat. Same place, different name. Yeah. Don't want to go, mama. And I see the dudes underneath the street corner. I'm scared to death. But they look like they're having fun. Matter of fact, they got a hired works out there too. They got a GSR, they got a chairperson. They got somebody go get it, somebody bring it back, somebody break it down, tell you when you can share. And if you ain't got it, you need to shut up. Huh? Yeah. When I see y'all do it like that, I know y'all identifying. Thank you very much. So they're underneath the streetlight, and they're doing stuff like, what's your name? What's your name? And they passing shit. I said, that's the crew I need to get with. See, I'm talking about the same story, same thing. You know, and I got with that crew, and off it went. Somebody handed me a substance and sold for $1.50. If the dope was old, you could get it for a dollar. Bug action. Doogie. Tragic magic. Horse. Loved it. Became the panacea, the answer to all my low self-esteem, all my insecurities. I vowed I had to have it at all costs. But the story, the part of the story I need to share with y'all is the first time I used it, my body rejected it. My body said, no, not me. And I seen the dude the next day. I said, God damn, man. What was that? You got another one? And for the next 25 years, it was about the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. It didn't make no difference who I beat. I got to have it. A buck? You can't get a buck. $1.50? But then the dope went up. And so did the disease. And now we can find ourselves trapped in a body. Locked in a mind that don't give a damn. You see, because you can't cop out there and be sharing. Like I feel like I'm feeling insecure, Crystal. I go get you some money. You see, so the little boy who wasn't all right with himself, I'm talking about with the name Walston. Whoever the fuck ever heard of a dope fiend named Walston? Huh? Before dope, I decided to be Jonathan Paris Lovejoy. I should have had a better ring to it. I set the image in my head of what that was. I started to live the lie before dope. You dig? And the lie was perpetuated throughout my disease. Yeah, I'm talking about locked in self, man. I got a friend that tells me, man wrapped in self is a mighty small package. I was so consumed with me, with what I thought, what I felt, what I wanted. And if the world would just revolve around me, everything would be all right. The interesting thing about that is that I was going on through school, you know, and accomplishing some things. And then, you know, I messed around and started to play some football. You dig? And started to do good at football. But I didn't go to Springer. I didn't go to school. I played for the school team. I went to Rip's Pool Room across the street from the school. Yeah. Spent 3 years at Rip's, didn't graduate, and got in college. And where the disease of Senate, which I understand today is in my thinking, right? I was telling myself I could do what I wanted to do in life and be successful. The disease was progressing. I was locked in me. I wasn't all right with me. It's either being less than you or better than you. So I'm talking about a contradiction, a walking contradiction. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to go through these things to be here tonight. Yeah, everything in divine order, Crystal. Everything's in divine order. I'm talking about, you know, winding up the guy that thought he was all that with in an oil joint looking at an addict laying on the floor blowing up like a bullfrog and me saying, well, you need to get you some help. Because I'm holding in my arms. I got veins. Yeah, y'all know how long that lasted. Because I got a disease that's progressive. Y'all said it's incurable. And guess what? If not arrested, fatal. And death was imminent. I seen death, and I couldn't stop using. I wanted to stop and couldn't stop using. I couldn't get out the crack house. Somebody going to need the stem in a minute. I wanted to leave, but I couldn't leave. I found myself in the back of Leroy's joint on 12th and U, and his wife was in the house. We'd had the oil in the shed out back, and the shed was about as big as this podium, and three or four of us was be up in there turning around. Tell her, can you hit me? Turn around, let me. You had to do contortions in that motherfucker. And see, we laughing there, but the shit wasn't pretty then. I'm talking about taking the kids' allowance back because I'm going to flip it. I just told y'all what I flipped. So I'm talking about 25 years of degradation. I weigh 210 now. I'm talking about a time when I was weighing 152, soaking wet. Yeah, three shades darker, three teeth. You see my NA grill? Yeah. That's what Narcotics Anonymous did for this addict. I remember early on, you know, when I got clean, I'm sitting in the back there with my three teeth, and the sister was up here sharing, right? She said about her grill, right? I said, that bitch talking about me. Look, so if you're in here and your grill ain't right, I'm telling my story. You can get your grill right in here. Trapped. I'm so glad to be free. See, if you can't laugh, if you can't share where you've been, then you sure don't know where you're going. See, they say God picked you out of the muck and mire because he got something for you to do, Walson. It ain't because you all that. Don't get it twisted. He done freed me up because he saved me. He let me stay out there. The same God that brought me in is the same God that let me stay out there. I wanted to come in long before I could quit. And then I didn't quit. The angels came with the handcuffs, Mike. How the fuck I see them as angels? That's the paradox of my life. That I needed to be near death to be able to appreciate breathing today. Because somebody in here struggling right now with just not using. That's what this program offers me, freedom from active addiction. Don't get it twisted, Walson. What is active addiction? You don't say we admitted we were powerless over heroin. We admitted we were powerless over crack. Said addiction. What's addiction? Well, you being consumed with you. Let's make it simple. So what I had to do? Well, I had to go through this kind of pain that I'm sharing with y'all and start identifying who the hell I had become. I just told y'all I was Jonathan Paris Lovejoy. I don't tell the truth. I grind up $40. I'm selling slum now on 7th Street, 14th Street. I sell slum for a living. That's my job. And I'm going right around the same youngins after I done sold them some slum the day before. You tell me I'm not here by the grace? Day in and day out for 3 years, I sold slum on the streets of Washington, D.C., Alexandria, Virginia, Maryland, wherever I could get a dime, I sold slum. And my wife would come back and pick me up in the evening, you know, and I'd have, you know, I've been shooting dope and smoking crack and drinking so-called vodka cold, half a pint, straight down, keep grinding. Then she'd come scoop me up and I'd take $20 and put it in her hand. I said, baby, put that up. I do this hell of a guy. I'm telling my story. I'm talking about my story. Yeah, this is serious business. Yeah, I'm not up here trying to depress, impress. I'm talking about being trapped. Where the disease is centered in my thinking.
That's right.
Yeah. So I had to stop telling the lies. Y'all told me that when I finally got here. See, I came in here and I started listening in the back of the room with my three teeth. It's cool. It's all right. Thank you, baby. She said I look pretty for y'all that didn't hear that. And I say thank you today when people say that. Yeah, I struggle sometimes with wondering why people ask me to sponsor them, why people ask me to share. And what the hell you don't need to struggle with that? What you think you was? If you got what was due you, you was spared by the grace because he got something for you to do. Just keep doing the next right thing. I don't want to be up here sharing in front of all you people. Well, God damn it, he didn't ask you what you wanted. He spared your ass because... And if I don't do it, I know what'll happen. And I don't want them consequences. I'll be wrapped up in me one more time, hiding out in N.A. I ain't trying to do that. So listen. I looked up some words today too. Yeah, because that's what you do. I looked up the word trapped. It says a device or condition that shuts down suddenly. To set traps.
That's right.
For game. or y'all ain't understanding me. Who's the game? Yeah. Who playing the game? Yeah. We the prey. What's the disease? The predator. And when I leave the herd, and I left y'all when I was 12, I ran to them youngins with the buck action pills, and I said, I ain't need y'all. I need thing, gators, her, money, it. I don't know what it is, but it's it. Just give me, what is it? Give it here. Cook it up. And I put it in my body every chance I got. Just tell me to make me feel different. And I'll try it. Control. Regulate it. Check this one out. Under supervision. Yeah. You know, like probation, parole? So I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and goddamn it, I sat down and I shut up. Because y'all told me, when we want to know where the cop at or how to get high, we'll ask you. We'll call on you. And until that time, you should shut up. Raise your hand, and we might call on you. And I did that. I followed those instructions. I believe that the best possible posture for an addict like me is humble. And just to say the word humble is a sign of arrogance. I try to live it today. So I came in, I sat, I listened, and I heard a guy sharing with humor about his affinity for narcotics. And it caught my attention. If you like dope, you my kind of people. But he hadn't been using any dope. And before he would conclude his sharing, he would always talk about the solution. And the solution is the program. So I started doing what he suggested, which was going to his house. He said, for an addict like you, meetings alone ain't enough. And I started showing up at his home for the step study stuff. Y'all get on my nerves. Always something to do. He's sitting outside. It's 7 o'clock. He said he'd be there. It says 7:20. Where he at? One of the dudes sitting with him said, well, if it was the dope man, what would you do? That's that we thing. And I began to recover. And I'm recovering. I'm a work in progress. I think the road to recovery is always under construction. You know, it's real sad to note how children might be, or it's more understanding to understand how children can be fearful of the dark, but when we see adults that are fearful of the light, I mean, to know is half the battle. There's folk in here that know and still ain't moving towards the light, but that's, my man say, one man to a casket. So, you know, I understood the importance of getting freed up when I got here. I'm talking about getting freed up in a way where, see, I've had 3 wives. All I do is use. I use liquid, solid, gas, human. It don't make no difference, right? That's what I do. I use things, people. It don't matter. But my 3rd wife, I loved her. So I got engaged to her because that's what we do when we want to show somebody that we want to embrace them. And I began to nurture this relationship, just like I did with my higher power. I started to nurture a relationship. And to fast forward, she started to experience renal failure, kidney failure. Had to go on dialysis. Yeah. I'm talking about a young lady that I had known when I was 15. You know, we did the rabbit thing, and I went off all over the country and came back. And God said, this way you're supposed to have been all the time. Right? So I started courting her and then eventually married her. And then when she had this renal failure, it's like she going to work, right? And then she coming home and she cooking for us. And she going to work and she going to dialysis. And she coming home cooking for us. And then all of a sudden I said, the Narcotics Anonymous in me said, well, what the fuck is you doing? Because my baby looking like she about to die. She walking in looking real sad, man. Dark, 3 shades darker. She a dark-skinned sister anyway. She three shades dark. She purple. I'm like, she weak. I said, well, baby, can I cook the meals tonight? I mean, I was 41 at that time, 42, something like that. And it was a good time to learn. She said, no, baby, that's all right. But what the program has taught me is that these steps, like I think it was mentioned that it's not something, we can intellectualize this shit, but you got to go live it.
That's
right. See, and so I intellectualized them with my sponsor in this living room, but I had to go live it. And so it's the creativity I bring. See, I get real creative when I'm trying to beat your ass out of $20, but now all of a sudden you can't do the fourth step. So if you done did a cycle of steps, can you show some love? Can you figure out a way to do something for somebody looking for nothing in return? Well, guess what? I loved her. And I've been with her for 12 years now. Just like I ain't shot no dope and gone on 15 years, I ain't been outside my relationship in 15 years. That's good news. Somebody need to know that I'm getting freed up from the addiction, from the bondage of self that has me always wanting to feel good. My sponsor say, fuck your feelings, man. Practice the program. But you can't practice what you don't know. So I started running her bath water, putting candles around the tub. Yeah. Put her in the water, rub her back, rub her feet. I get choked up just sharing this shit. I'm talking about unconditional love. Wipe her down when I get out the tub. Then put them oils on her. Now, this the hit, y'all. Hold on. Put the oils on her naked body without intercourse. Now, somebody is thinking, well, why not? I'm talking about denying self. Because that's my problem. I always want some shit. Yeah, I'm talking about just giving. Loving her without intercourse. That's love. See, I had it confused. I thought sex was love. I thought dope, how much powder you could shoot. How many gators you had. How much money you was working with made you a man. Now, what makes you a man is the ability to help another man. So my wife now is, let me just share this part of the good news. After a year of her going through that stuff, they called us one night. I was at the chateau. That's one of them little joints where you. And my baby, just to show you how free she is, she don't have no problems with what I do. Oh, she wouldn't be my wife if she did. Because when I married, I was in recovery. And this must come first. Oh, everything I got will fit in the stem, including her.
That's right.
So I'm out funning, right?
That's right.
And I get the call. She said, honey, can you get home? Because they told me I'm the backup for these organs.
Yeah.
God is best. Oh, man. Not only did she get a kidney, she got a pancreas. So she diabetic free for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the 12th step, y'all.
That's right.
Because see what she do when she get the opportunity to come to my anniversary or some stuff like that. You know, and I asked her, honey, you want to say something? And, you know, she said, I ain't with that shit. That's your thing, right? But she'll get up there. She said, well, you know what? Y'all might want to get some organs. Yeah. That's her 12th step move. Don't miss the message, y'all. I ain't going to say no more on that. But I'm talking about growing up to be a man in this program. You know, and getting freed up in a way where I can stand up here and say, I love my wife. You dig? And that I've been able to learn how to love her as a direct result of pursuing this program. I've been able to learn how to help another man look for nothing in return because I know I'm going to get it anyway through the spiritual development.
That's
See, I got to put some spiritual dividends in the bank. You dig? And then I'll have something to draw on, man. Because it was already mentioned, the storm going to come now. Yeah, you better have some dividends to draw on. You see? And so, you know, I've been able to do stuff like the ninth step. I had a daughter come back into my life that I had abandoned at birth in Portland, Oregon. 5 years in the recovery, the private eye called the house. Says, this is Walton Barbarian. I said, who the fuck you want? Well, I'm a private eye. I said, no, that ain't me. And he said, no, hold on. You got a daughter that just wants to meet you. I'm talking about the miracles that have happened to me in this program. The evidence, the restoration of sanity, the getting freed up from being locked. What the hell is the goddamn topic, Crystal? That shit is not me today. I'm free. If you ain't free, keep coming back. I've been freed up from the obsession to not only shoot dope, because I used to buy me some goddamn crack in Maryland, smoke it in D.C. in my apartment, and look for it at my mother's house in Virginia on the floor. If that ain't insane, what the fuck is? I'm no longer trapped, y'all. If anybody's in here that has a problem with my profanity tonight, I beg you, I ask you to forgive me. I'm working on that. You'd be surprised, maybe, but I did kind of cut it back a little bit on that. I'm growing along spiritual lines. I haven't arrived yet. My grand sponsor used to say, you know, sometimes a little profanity helps you carry the message because you really can't be no earthly good if you're all heavenly bound. So I have to share sometimes, but most times, based on where I come from. The sharing from the heart do reach the heart. You see, and so I want to thank the area for asking me. I got some friends in this program. People were all day been asking me, what time you share? What time? What's the topic? I mean, it's a part of me, the part that ain't been to a meeting. Yeah, that's locked. That's trapped. And I have to free him up when I get up here. I have to tell you that I'm a work in progress. I'm not a finished. Don't put me on no pedestal. It's windy at the top. Not only is it lonely, it's windy. I know why God put them people in my life. Because I need a lot of help. I thank y'all. I love y'all. I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to stay in the best place.